Hello, Rebels of the Short Pollution. Normally, I start off this podcast by saying hi, but I'm going to start this one off by saying hydration. We know how important hydration is for our bodies. It's the thing that keeps us running, right? You want to be a well-oiled machine. You want to be running efficiently. You know what can help you run efficiently? Liquid IV. It is the category-winning hydration brand fueling your well-being, and their hydration multiplier is the one product that you are missing in your daily routine. It comes in a little stick that's a powder, and in just one stick, you get 5 essential vitamins and 2 times faster hydration than water alone. If you use it first thing in the morning, maybe before a workout, when you feel run down, maybe after a long night out and doing a little partying, you know what I mean? And even, what if you have like a long flight or something like that and you just bleh, right? We all feel that way, bleh. So add this to your water, and that convenient packaging can go with you anywhere you go, even if you're going to the gym or you're traveling or you're at work and maybe you didn't have a great breakfast. At least it's something that will fuel you up in the morning, and there's a whole bunch of flavors that are available, like sea berry, strawberry lemonade, Concord grape, lemon lime, pina colada, tropical punch, watermelon, strawberry, passion fruit, guava, acai berry. Did I say that right? I never know how to say that. But those are just some of the flavors. Here's some statistics for you folks. One stick of liquid IV in 16 ounces of water contains 5 essential vitamins: B3, B5, B6, B12, and even vitamin C. And we all know how important those B vitamins are. It's got 3 times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks. It's made with premium ingredients. It's non-GMO, and it is free from gluten, dairy, and soy. I'm going to offer you a great deal, Rebels. If you go to liquidiv.com and use offer code Sherpa, you can get 20% off of anything that you order on that site when you're shopping for some better hydration. So that's Liquid IV. Check it out at liquidiv.com.
Too Many Podcasts is brought to you in cooperation with the SJ Network. If you are a person who would like to appear on podcasts, contact Stephen Joyner at s-j-network.com. We now direct you to the Sherpa Chalet, where we will turn it over to Jim the Podcast Sherpa. How he got this job is anyone's guess.
This week on Too Many Podcasts, it's a chat with Gregory Joseph of the Mean Machine Radio Show. Greg has been in radio for a number of years. I was listening to the radio the other day and heard Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond. I remembered when he was known as Neil Cole. Then the pressure got to him.
Welcome to Too Many Podcasts, the podcast about podcasts. Now, podcasting from the Sherpa Chalet on Mount Podcastia, here's your host, Jim, the Podcast Sherpa.
Hello there, Rebels of the Sherpa Pollution, and welcome to Too Many Podcasts. It is the podcast about podcasts and so much more. Jim, the Podcast Sherpa, coming to you from Sherpa Lou Studios, high atop Mount Podcastia, overlooking all the hills and valleys and rivers and streams and puddles and anthills of podcasts that are out there. And we're here to talk to you about them. We're going to interview podcasters and take a look at the podcast charts in this episode, as we do with many of our other episodes of Too Many Podcasts. But first, a word about our guest today.
Who's our guest today, Sherpa?
His name is Gregory Joseph, and he is the host of a show called The Mean Machine Radio Show. And it's a radio show, it's a podcast, it's kind of a hybrid, but it's definitely interesting. He has all sorts of folks on there, people that you may have heard of, people that you might not have heard of, and they talk about all sorts of things. And Greg is a really interesting guy whom I've gotten to know, and I really enjoyed the time that I spent with him. We talked about a lot of stuff, really cool stuff, and it's a really interesting interview. He's definitely led an interesting career in radio, and even just growing up in Jersey, you got to hear some of the stories that he's going to tell you in this interview. A lot of fun stuff. And again, such a super nice guy, and he's definitely looking out for other people that he would like to work with, and hopefully we will be doing some collaboration in the near future, too. Maybe I'll even be on the Mean Machine Radio Show. That would be pretty cool. But why don't we have a listen to my interview with Gregory Joseph of the Mean Machine Radio Show. Let's take it away right about now. Hello there, Rebels. We are here in the radio room at the Sherpa Chalet. My guest today is the host of the Mean Machine Radio Show. It's a radio show. It's a podcast. It's two mediums in one. He has been a radio DJ for a long time. He has been venturing into this little podcast and causing all sorts of trouble across the airwaves. He's coming to us from Sopranotown, New Jersey. We're going to get to that, too. Mr. Greg Joseph. Greg, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it is a pleasure to have you. Now, it's interesting because I've had guests from Jersey and they don't really talk much about being from Jersey, but I know you've got a lot of stories about being from Jersey and some of the folks that grew up in there as well.
Yeah, well, I don't know who you've had on from Jersey before, but we don't all know each other, but it's close. this is where I was born, and I'm pretty sure this is where I'm going to perish one day. But in between living in the Dash, yeah, why not? I'm a Jersey boy. I've lived in other places, but, you know, You're just from where you're from, and I don't have a problem telling people that. It's actually a very beautiful state, and a lot of people don't give it its fair shake. There's a lot of, you know, these monikers of this and that. Oh, it's just the Pete's and the Sopranos in Jersey. Sure, man, that's not really, that's on the, that's TV, that's movies. That's, you know, I'm sure that that's, at some point that is. But, you know, because you're flying into Newark and it's a big industrial area. So like, oh, my God, is this the way the whole state looks? No, it's called the Garden State for a reason. But, hey. For good or for better or for worse, this is my home. So,
now, didn't you say that Joe Pesci cut your mother's hair? Is that
my aunt's hair? Yes, aunt's in hair. Belleville, New Jersey. That's true. He actually, Joe Pesci was a singer. He wanted to sing, and he was actually supposed to be in the original Four Seasons with Frankie Valli. It didn't work out that way,
right?
Bob Gaudio took his spot there, and, you know, he managed some clubs around here. He cut hair. He did a little bit of everything. He would have been into other things I don't want to mention, but he ended up, he had a love and a feel for the movies, for film, and he wanted to play his music and do that. And he went out to LA, and I think the story goes, then he met Robert De Niro, and they built, you know, the rest is history. They made Raging Bull from that point on. But yeah, that is true. And, that I've said in one other interview. So, you know, I like you, Jim, because I don't do a lot of interviews and I rarely talk about myself. So, but you're a good guy. And it is true, though, being from that area to us, it's not that big of a deal. These are right. Just people from the neighborhood. But I know a lot of people eat that stuff up like, oh, you know, this one and that one. Yeah, we all put, you know, put our pants on one, you know, leg at a time. You know, it's really. We don't get starstruck around here unless it was Frank Sinatra. And perhaps I might piss my pants, but, you know, being an Italian from Jersey, that's like Al Pacino walking in. I'd be like a little girl if he walked in, you know, but so my grandfather's best friend, my grandfather's name was Sonny, and his best friend was a guy named Louie, and in Stephen Crane Village, not far from here in Newark, New Jersey. That family used to babysit me. So I used to go over there on Saturdays and, you know, Saturday morning cartoons, remember? Mm-hmm. And we're having like spaghetti at like 11 a.m. And it was awesome. You know, and they were just really nice people. The mom's name was Mary, and, you know, and he would drop me off. Or sometimes the boys would come in and we would all eat and sit down. And that happened to be Frankie Valli's parents. So Louis Castellucci. Now, I don't know if you're going to see any or hear that in the Jersey Boys, but that is true. But I'm one of the only people that can actually say that I sat and watched Super Friends with Joe Pesci, Frankie Valli, Bob Gaudio, his father and his mother and my grandfather. So that's, I guess that's kind of cool. You know, it was Frankie Valli's dad that had put his arm around me once and said, I was about 10 years old. And I said, you know, I've heard Wolfman Jack. And I heard, you know, people like Casey Kasem that, you know, wasn't a full weekend. Your weekend wasn't finished till you heard the top 40 with Casey Kasem. You remember back in the day. And I would listen to all these guys, especially Wolfman Jack, you know, hey, this Wolfman Jack. I'm like, whoa. These guys are great. I wish I could do that. He put his arm around me and he said, you could be better than them. They're okay. He goes, but you could be better than these guys. He goes, you should. He goes, they told my son the same thing, that he could never do that. He has a Jersey accent and he's never going to go on, you know, and he knows this one and you're, you know, these people will hold you back. And I mean, well, I guess he knew a little bit about what he was talking about. I guess his son, Frankie Valli, did pretty well. So yeah. I guess the man had some vision. So that's a true story. True story. That was the first guy that said that, I should actually do it. And 3.5 years later, at the age of, maybe a little bit longer, I was about 15. I DJ'd my first, I was a mobile DJ. I DJ'd my first wedding. So it's a true story.
Did you ever have any wild weddings that you DJ'd?
Wilds? Yeah. I guess. I mean, that was quite some time ago. You're talking like the 80s. So, yeah, where people got drunk and like, you know, hanging from the chandeliers kind of shit. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, everybody's kind of stiff and everything. And then they, when they realize how much they paid for all this stuff and they just kind of open bar. Yahoo, that's what you want in North Jersey. A bunch of wild people drinking for free. Probably not the best scenario. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, they were always a lot of fun and they always took care of the DJs. You know, back then, you know, whatever, you know, here's some food, here's some drinks, here's some, you know, whatever it was, they always shared, whether it was a band, a DJ, or sometimes we did breaks of the band. When the band would take a break, the DJ would take over, so there was no dead air.
Right.
So, but that's how I cut my teeth, mobile DJing, proms, weddings, bar mitzvahs. That's how I started. Got to start somewhere.
Yeah, and ultimately you did end up doing radio, and you said you worked for Z100?
I did for a short period of time. This is before I had an FCC license, but prior to that, I was doing some, like I did clubs, you know, you work in like, you know, even strip clubs, even me, I know I'm a stickler and that, you know, I'm Catholic and I shouldn't be saying this and I got to go to church and everything, but yeah.
You kept wherever one eye closed.
Yeah. Well, hey, look, wherever I could get a job when you're a teenager, you do whatever you can do to get a gig, you know?
Sure.
So it was that. And yeah, yeah, it was a long time ago in small little places. And then we did some pirate radio. That was Seton Hall. That was pirate radio over in Orange and everything. Mm-hmm. Check that out and different venues. And then you would meet other people. Hey, you want to try this? So I sent in for WOR and I would send out for 95.5 WPLJ, even the old WABC. Nobody was going to hire me, but I got a shot because I knew this particular person from Seton Hall and he got me to meet a guy by the name of Shadow Stevens. I don't know if you remember that name, but he was from Montclair, which wasn't far. And, I didn't get on the air, but I was able to, they were in the Empire State Building, that's where Z100 was. So I was able to walk around in the offices and go sit in the green room. And I mean, I'm like 18, 19 years old at the time. This was like, whoa, you know, and you see all the on-air things go on and the different people and the producers are there and the engineers kind of just staring at like, who the hell is this kid? But it was an experience that, and I was trying to, you know, chase my dream there. I was trying to follow what I wanted to do. So.
Okay. So talk a little bit about like the evolution of the Mean Machine radio show.
The evolution. Well, there's a lot of stuff that's in between there. I mean, I had gone to what I did that. Then I was in Florida for a while. I was still relatively young, my early 20s, and I was managing and then DJing at clubs. I would be a better DJ than the DJs that were there. My music selection, the way I was on a microphone, was always very comfortable. Right. So I would give up managing of the places and just make myself the DJ. Like I would fire the DJ and then I would take over at these different places. The Crazy Horse, you probably heard of that. We worked there, met a lot of famous people in and out. But we could talk about that at another time. But there was, yeah, there was like sports people and music people and just like everybody. You know, you could walk up to the bar. All of a sudden, there's Macho Camacho standing right there. You know, like it was all like different. And people would hang out in the booth. A lot of like the New York Giants would go down there and stuff like that. But, you know, and you work the club circuit down there. And this is now you're talking the 90s now. So I got a job at WQAM, which is in Cooper City, Florida. I'm not sure if it's still there. I'm pretty sure it is. But back then, anyway, it's close to Miami, and that was where for Dolphins Radio, it was sports scores we would do with a guy named Phil Shane. And I knew these guys from the Dollhouse, the old Dollhouse. Once the Dollhouse shut down, those DJs had to go somewhere. They went to the Crazy Horse, and that's how I met him. It's kind of odd the way the events unfolded. A guy named David Starr, and then him. So I went down there and I auditioned and I did the sports score. I was nervous. But I did it live. You know, it was Miami Heat scores, and he would show me how to do it, where the breaks were, and the 7-second delay. And there was a country station that was in there. And once again, just walking around and absorbing, Jim, like a big sponge. You know, so even though I wasn't doing anything extravagant, I can put that on my resume. You know, and then Island 107 in Key West for a short period of time. We did like comedy bits down there. And then, you know, back up to like Broward County. But that was in between there. But as far as the Mean Machine radio show, that was kind of born out of necessity. And what I mean by that is I had had an LLC, which was Mean Machine Media. And we had our own websites. It was like sports memorabilia, because that's was my love as well. You know, it was like movies and music and everything. And then we went to, you know, like classic memorabilia. And we had the rights from when I worked at QAM. We had some of the rights for the local Super Bowls and stuff, the stuff that had been played at the Orange Bowl and that kind of thing. So we had copies of the master tapes legally. The NFL didn't own some of them back then. It was the local stations that owned certain ones. So I was able to do that and sell them. And it was a lot of fun. The websites did really well and everything. And I left the booth. I went back to it. But, you know, it wasn't fun anymore. You know, it was more or less, I didn't retire. I didn't quit. I just walked away from it. And I left the booth in the very beginning of 2012. Who wants to take my shifts here or whatever? Like, it just wasn't fun. Life gets in the way. You have kids, you have this and that, everything's going on. So I kind of shelved it for a while and I didn't really miss it. And I would still get asked to do stuff for speaking engagements or voiceover or something like that. But for the most part, I was doing other things. I was a logistics guy. I have a degree in logistics too. So I fell back on that, and I was out of that for a while when my kids were little. And when I came back, we took the Mean Machine Media thing from 2004. I used that name. And of course, it's Pittsburgh Steeler colors. I mean, from season one, everything. That's not an accident. That's where all the black and gold stuff comes from. You know, Mean Joe Green, that kind of thing, right? So we kind of just converted that and got our stuff, like meanmachineradio.com and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, you know what? The landscape has changed a lot since I had been out of the booth. There was no streaming back then. Nobody really was. They were just starting to take pictures on their cell phones back then, you know?
Right.
So it wasn't like now where you could just, everybody's got the phone and they go this and that. Wasn't like that. So I just said out of necessity, I'm like, well, we should do something here with it. You know, and I'm watching these people online, whether it's YouTube and this and that. And I'm like, oh, good for them. Things have changed. Okay, great. The hell is streaming? That's when you drop your car keys when you're fishing and they go into the water and they're going down the stream and you're chasing after them before they get to you. That's streaming. I didn't know what the hell they were talking about, but I'm watching these people. No, and a lot of them, some of them are good. No voice, zero personality, have absolutely nothing to say. They've got like a mess in the background. They have no camera presence, no microphone. I'm like, these people aren't taking this stuff seriously. And they've got all these followers and people subscribing and everything. And I'm like, after a while, because I'm watching this during COVID, there was nothing to do, you know.
Right.
This, I mean, you can only watch House so many times in Law and Order. So I'm seeing this, and I saw it was not a challenge, but I'm like, you know what? Hold my beer. I said, let me show you how this is done and see if the old man still has it. And I'm not that old, but you know, you're talking about people are, you know, I have tattoos older than them and they're doing this shit. So I'm like, you know what? Let me see. Let me bring my channel back to life. Let me renew my FCC license. Even though I didn't have to, I wanted to because I'd rather have it and not need to need it. Well, it's expensive. I don't even want to say on the air what it is, but it took a while because, you know, the government, they're really speedy when it comes to that. And I did get it. It took a while and I wanted to pursue it. And so it was born out of necessity. I'm like, well, we don't have the licensing in place for copyright. I'm using this. We got to do something here. What can we do? Let's talk to some people. All right. Well, I know this guy from back in the day. You make a couple phone calls, you know, and lo and behold, all right, we'll talk to this one. And I'm utilizing all the different social media, you know, like to meet people and network and that kind of thing, which is arduous. It really is. But because they have to vet the people there. But lo and behold, we started just talking about sports and music. Like you go with what you know. Right. So I'm like, all right, what do you know? I'm like, well, not math and science. Let's see. What else do we not know? No, don't know anything about that. Aviation? No. Sports, movies, music, trivia, all the cool shit, the stuff that I fell asleep and still was able to pass in college. I'm like, okay. So we started talking about that stuff and I would stream and I'm on these different platforms and we're starting to get hits and I'm just being me. I didn't feel the need to reinvent myself. I think that's a mistake when people say, oh, you could reinvent yourself, be so new online. Why? What's wrong with who you are? And that's just my opinion. Yeah. Why would you want to reinvent and be someone else? Well, you got to be different. You can't shock people so much, but you got to be different, but you got to be yourself. Well, that makes no damn sense at all. Think about what they just said. So I'm like, wait a minute. There's only one Greg. I'm being myself. Doesn't that make me different? Duh. Let's try to understand what we're talking about here. So it's KISS. Keep it stupid and simple. Why overcomplicate it? Be who you are and your audience and your niche will find you. Not going, oh, can you subscribe? Like you're putting a gun to their head type of thing. Why would I hate when people do that? Not hate, but it doesn't make sense to me. You should invite people. You could, you know, alert people that you're here. Why would you say, please do this and come here? They know that they can. You have to give them a reason to.
Sure.
But they will find you. You don't have to go out and find them. They'll find you. It takes time. But, you know, if it was easy, everybody would do it, Jim, you know?
That's true.
You know what I'm talking about. You podcast, you do this, you have a presence, you know what you've been doing. You've been sustaining for a long time. You obviously know what you're doing and you're good at it. It ain't easy. The stuff that they don't see, your everyday people, where it looks seamless, it looks easy. Meanwhile, your hands are doing this and you're an octopus and you got that and the Wi-Fi goes out and the shit's falling off the wall and your audio's, your mic, you know exactly if anything that could go wrong goes wrong. When it's smooth, it's not easy, man. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And to your point about, you know, being yourself, a while back, I had interviewed a guy named Dave Jackson, who runs what's called the School of Podcasting. And Dave is actually a podcasting Hall of Famer. And in our conversation, he said, you know, he says, when you're inauthentic, he said, the listeners can pick up on that right away. He said, so why even bother to, you know,
he's right.
Try and beat somebody that you're not?
Yeah, he's right. I agree 100%. I didn't even know. Is there a Hall of Fame for that?
Believe it or not, there is. I didn't even know there was a podcaster Hall of Fame, but yeah.
Yeah, and I want to know why, A, I'm not in it, and B, where the hell it is.
Yeah. It has to be out there in the ether, I guess. Maybe it's somewhere in Mount Podcastia and nobody has told me yet.
Yeah, maybe I missed that call, I guess, right? It got lost in the mail, I guess.
I think that's it. Your invite got lost in the mail.
I'll tell you what, though. I'm a broadcaster, a licensed broadcaster, but a lot of people go, oh, well, you have a podcast. It's very convoluted. Not that it's a bad thing, but it is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. To me, podcasting was always like video on demand. And podcasting is more niche-based, where right. It's an actual thing. Whereas terrestrial radio, which is what I do, for the most part, is more like on a mass scale, I guess you could say. Not as niche based, it kind of, but not really. So it's for the masses. So it's more of a broadened thing. But you can have a podcast like I do, like you made mention when you're actually announcing. That was a hell of an intro, though. Thank you there, Jim. Because it is two different things. We could be on the radio, but you're not seeing me. You never saw me. I've been on the air for a while, on and off, but you didn't see me. We didn't, unless there was an event where they had VHS and they came in and they were actually taking, like, it was a birthday party. Nobody ever looked in the booth. They took like snapshots now and then, you know, I have some of those, but
right.
There was no, like, you know, it was all audio. That's what we were taught. That's how I was brought up. That was what I was trained to do.
Yeah.
And, so you're not seeing that. You would hear me though. So if I walked past somebody, they're not going to go, oh, that's Greg, or that's a meme machine. Are you Greg or just now? Yeah. But not then.
Right.
You know, and it would have to be local, because if they heard me, they go, wait a minute, I know that voice somewhere, but they didn't know what I look like.
Right.
So now it's different. You have to be visual, you know, to be able to stay relevant in 2024 and beyond. And you have to complement both. And when we have an episode, when I interview somebody, because we keep that part of it too, that's called an episode, and that we will have it in a podcast format, I guess you could say, because it's very similar. So sure. There's nothing wrong with that. But if someone says, oh, you have a podcast, it's like, well, yes and no. Because people that are podcasting, 99.9% of them don't have a license and aren't on the air.
Right.
But their podcast doesn't make them worse or anything. They're just different. It's different. And I love it. And I have a lot of friends that are. And I think that some of them are tremendous, that they could have been on the air. But a lot of people don't want to do that. It's not their end game. They like doing what they're doing from remote location. And that's cool. Yeah. And I respect the fact that if you give it everything that you have, like you actually pay the respect, because it was born from broadcast. That's where podcasting came from. If sure. You pay it the right respect, even if you don't have a voice, it helps. But if you don't have a voice and you don't have a lot of prowess for it and you don't have like fancy stuff or great equipment, that's fine. You can be successful without that and lead up to that if you have the right attitude. If you have that relentless, that's me. That just resilient, relentless, because, you know, Jim, one of the greatest things in the world is doing something and doing something really well that yeah. They said you couldn't do it. You can't do it. You're from Jersey. you know, with that name, they're going to think this, they're going to think that, you know, and you have an, you know, you're never going to be, it's not sustainable. You can't make a living doing that. You'll not really. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's funny because the people who think that podcasting is so easy, the minute that they decide to start it, the biggest misconception in the head is that whole delusion of grandeur. Oh, I'm going to start a podcast and a million people will start right off the bat listening to me. And I'm going to make all this money and get all these sponsorships. And then it's like,
if that's the case, I got a bridge to sell you. Yeah. No, that's and that's nice. And maybe it's not. Maybe that's kind of the right idea. I'm not motivated by money, but obviously we all need it. It's a necessary evil, if you want to call it that.
Right.
But if that's your end game, you know, I'd made a video where I had a clip of it from season one from last year. And it said, you know, I got to be monetized. And I got to do this and I got to do that. Whoa. If you here's the key in my this is my opinion. If you would do what you're doing, whether you. You know, you giving it everything that you have, everything that you know how to do, and you aspire to be better. And the first one you did absolutely sucked. It's okay because it's a prerequisite for getting better. But you got it out of the way. You did it. You're a winner. You did something where the others couldn't do it or didn't do it, but you did it. In my book, you're a winner. I don't care if it absolutely sucked. You did it. And now you're going to get better because you will know, and only you will know when you're ready. But I would say, if money's your motivation and everything, you know, this is a very small percentage. I'm sorry to say, where you're making like, I'm not talking like $400 or $500 a month. I spend that in my dry cleaning. I'm talking about like money every month that you could live on it in 2024. Very small percentage. I'm talking like YouTube or this and that. Some people do it, but it's very difficult to sustain. So going viral is probably not always the good thing because you can only go one way and that's down. So you want to be more sustainable and scale and level out and scale and go up. You don't want to go, yay, and it was really good and it was a great video, and then crash and burn. So when people say, oh, I want to go viral, do you really want to? Do you even understand what that means? Do you want to be queen for the day or do you want to be a jack for your whole life? I mean, you just have to look at it. That's a chess reference, but I'm just saying, but that's that's kind of how you have to look at it. So if you would do the same thing that you're doing right now, even if you didn't make one dime, would you still do it? And if the answer is yes, then you will be successful when you do make money. That's just that the law averages. That's what it is. The more shit you throw against the wall, the more sticks, right?
Yeah.
So if you would do the same thing with the same passion and everything, give it all you got. You're tired from working and this and the kids and the cats and the bills. We all have that stuff. But you're sitting there and you're giving it you're taking it seriously and you're giving it everything you got. Right. Would you still do it if you didn't make a dime? Like I said, if the answer to that is a resounding yes, you will be successful when you do. Finally, it is the law of averages. 10 million people watching and listening or 10. You should be the same way. Right. Don't be the best podcaster. Don't be the best broadcaster. Don't be the best gamer or influencer or any of those things. Be the best you. That way, everything you touch is the best as far as you're concerned. That's not rhetoric. That's a way of life. That's how I roll, baby. You know what I mean? I'm going to be the best that Greg can be. Now, no matter what I do, it's going to be my best. That's the best. I'm not going to hold myself to just this. Well, I suck at that. And I'm horrible at this, and I'm not that good here, but I'm really good at this one thing. Why spread yourself like that? No, be the best you can be, right? I mean, it's just a way of looking at things, that's all.
Right, the thing about being the best is that there's always that one person that's going to come out, and they're going to, you know, they'll be the next best thing. You know, I mean, when you think about it, I mean, we're within the same age range, and we're probably older than some of the listeners, but I mean, we know who, like, we knew who like some of the sports heroes were and the big actors of our day. But what happens? You know, they get older, they get out of the game, and somebody new comes along. It's you know, it's life.
And it's okay.
Yeah,
more importantly, it's okay. Spot. I don't care how much money you have, or how good you are, but there's two undefeated champions in this world. One of them is Mother Nature, and the other one's Father Time. And don't bother fighting either one. Because it ain't, you're not winning any of those. You will never win. So you might as well welcome it if you think about what I'm saying, it's just a different way. It's different optics, a different way to look at things. You can say the same thing two different ways. One could be optimistic and one can be pessimistic. You know, the half, you know, the glass half full and that kind of thing. But you're not going, I don't care how much money and everything happens, you're going to not get any older. If that's the case, I'll hang out with you then, because I'd like to be like the fountain of youth 2024. No problem. But it's okay. Yeah. It's okay. You know, we you woke up this morning, right? So did I. A lot of people didn't. So we're ahead of the game. We're not lucky. We're blessed. You opened up two gifts. Those are your eyes. Keep that in mind, that everything after that, every day above ground, it's true, is a good day.
Yeah.
It was beautiful out, right? A lot of people didn't see that, Jim, but we did.
Very true.
You know, you're listening. If they're listening or watching right now, or both, whatever it is, I guess listening, that means they did too. Simplify, kiss, keep it stupid and simple. Don't overcomplicate life. It's already complex. Why make it worse? Nice and easy, one thing at a time, steady as she goes, and you'll get to the promised land. It's not a race. You'll get there. You know, you got to, that's what I tell the younger people that ask me for help. You know, well, how did you do this? It's not cookie cutter. What works for Jim doesn't work for Greg. It might not work for Sally, and it might not work for Jimmy, and it might not work for Al, you know, whatever it is. You have to be the best you and take your own path. I can't help you to get ready, but I can help you when you are. Mm-hmm. You know? That's all. I mean, that's really how I feel about it. That's that. It's not difficult, but it is simple. If that makes any sense. I don't know.
No, that actually makes perfect sense, Greg.
Well, I'm glad somebody understands me, Jim. That's why I hang out with you. Nobody understands what I'm saying.
So, Greg, I'm guessing, like, with your experience in, you know, between radio and the podcasts, do you have like a top interview that you've ever done that just really sticks out in your mind?
Well, over the years, it's actually a good question. I mean, for a long time, I never saw myself as a host, honestly. To be honest with you, I know that you might go, well, yeah, but you're good at it, but. Yeah, but it was out of necessity. Remember, we couldn't play copyrighted music. We had to do something.
Right.
So, it was born out of necessity. Just like the meme machine. That's how that came about. But I don't know. A favorite one? I don't know if you could say an interview, but I've met a lot of different people I've had like quick conversations with.
Okay.
I don't think I have a favorite interview. Everybody's good in their own way.
Right.
I mean, we've had crazy stuff happen and I've walked off of one, you know, I mean, shit happens over the years. Musicians are difficult. They're kind of eccentric, to say the least. Not that movies, you know, people that are in theater and that kind of thing. You know, it's hard. I never really thought of it that way. I enjoyed speaking with, some of the football players that I met. Remember the Giants center, Bart Oates? He was a nice guy. He was a nice guy to talk to. Mm-hmm. Mark Bavaro. Yeah, he was another, the tight end from the old New York Giants back in the day. I met John Madden a while ago, but I didn't really have a conversation with him. When I did Madden in 2003, the CD-ROM, when I did the voiceover for that, we got a chance to meet him. We didn't meet Pat Summerall, but John Madden was there. He just kind of looked at me. Just kind of stared at me because he's like, you know, a football god. I was like,
right,
nervous as hell, you know. But yeah, I mean, I have a lot of those stories. I don't think we have enough time for all the stuff, the people that I've met. But I don't know if there's one that actually sticks out in my mind as my favorite. But the fact that it was different walks of life, everyday people, and then there was a sports star, and then there was this one, and then it was, oh, she used to be, and you know, or the it was the varying. You know, it was nice to have that variance in there, to have people, you know, from all different. I mean, that you wouldn't even think I would talk to, but I did. And it was kind of cool. Gilbert Gottfried gave was a good conversation. Just recently, Larry Hankin, we had on the show. He was cool. And we have a lot of good people that are coming up the pike really soon. It's the floodgates are starting to open up a little bit. So we're starting to scale up. It's a train, baby. That's the meme machine train. Either you get on the train, out of the way of the train, or run over by the train. One way or another, it's coming through. So we're resilient and it's starting to really catch on. And the thing is that it's a whole new generation of people that I'm appealing to. It's like not their parents anymore. Now it's their kids that are like in their 20s. And that's kind of cool. I got it. I'm not going to lie to you.
Sure.
I'm like, oh, I mean, they're like the same age as my kids. You know, I mean, what am I going to talk about with, you know, they wanted more serious subjects. So that's what we're given. We pivoted in season two because of that. So I've yet to talk to anyone where I didn't give them the respect, no matter who they were. I would treat Joe Schmo or whoever the same way I would treat if Al Pacino was. And I'm dead serious about that because they're human beings, you know, so
absolutely.
They're taking time out of their life that they would never get back. Right. No matter what. So that's why you always thank people for the time. And I would treat them the same. Now, I would goof around and be sarcastic, be nuts. I mean, don't get me wrong, Jim. I'm Ubats, but it's I made them feel comfortable where they, you know, and I let their inhibitions down and everything. And I get them to curse. I get them. I'm not getting them to do anything. It's right there. I'm just kind of greasing the wheels and opening the door and going, follow me. You know what I mean? And they're like, okay, you know, well, I mean, that's it's a very liberating feeling, you know, it's it, for them. And they thank me for it. They're like, oh, I didn't have to hold back. And no, this isn't the nice machine. Say what you got to say, baby.
Yeah. You actually touched on something I did want to bring up with you that, you know, for folks who haven't heard your show, that it's not just celebrity and sports interviews, that you do talk with people who've had like a lot of trauma in their life as well.
Yeah. Correct. That once again, it wasn't out of necessity. That one, that was something where I feel like you have to do stuff that's good for the soul. You never forget where you're from. You know what I mean, Jim? I mean, we're East Coast people, but there's people all over the country, all over the world. Mm-hmm. So if I, this second time around, that God's giving me a second chance and not be like I was the first time, like slash and burn type of thing, this time I feel different. I'm older, I'm wiser, and you can't put a price tag on experience, you know? So I'm going to bring some people along in my journey back up to the top, because I've been there. I've been to the top. I had my 50 minutes. So that's fine. But this time around, I'm going to help some people along. Can't help everyone. And everybody has something different going on. We all do. There's not one person that I've ever met. I've talked to thousands of people. Not one person I ever met that didn't have something going on. Like, oh yeah, there's nothing going on in my life. Everything's great. Have a great night. That does not happen in this world. You know it and I know it. So
yeah,
wanted to help people along the way this time. Answer questions. Try to reach out when I can. Tap somebody. Say, hey, you want to give someone a shot that nobody else would give to? I just feel that why not? You know, I mean, I'm not going to stop forgetting, no matter how popular I might or might not become, like I was, or famous or what. That's not what motivates me. I know that I've been there before and I know how to get there. So follow me and I'll take you there. I didn't do that the first time around. So I wanted to talk about more serious stuff because that's what they want. I'm the bus driver. It's their show. I'm just hosting it. You know, it will go wherever they want me to drive, wherever they want me to go. That's kind of a weird analogy, but you get the point.
Yeah, sure.
I stopped thinking about what do I want to talk about? What do I want to think? What do I want to, what do I? How about what the people that want to come and listen and be subscribers and be loyal and be followers? Let's hear what they have to say. If you're on my show, why am I going to tell people about what you've been through? Why don't you tell here? Use my platform. You tell them, Jim. You know, it's a very easy way to think about it. And just to not be selfish, you can partake. You could have the banter back and forth. That's what people want. We've had a hospice nurse on. We've had a depth psychologist. We have people about domestic violence. We've had a bunch of people with mental health stuff, alcoholism. This like the tough subjects, the ones that make you cringe when you hear some stories, and they're heart wrenching, some of them. And you can't help everyone, but it's those subjects, those things that actually happen to these people, past, present, and could be going forward. Those are the things, those are the topics that need to be spoken about the most. You got to let them see the light of day, because otherwise they will eat you alive talking about them. So I'm giving them a platform. I'm going, here you go. Come sit next to me. Say what you have to say. Because they've been seeing you, but they haven't really been heard. And then you have other, I don't want to mention names, but you have other ones that are more famous than others or whatever. And they'll do the interview maybe or maybe not. And then they shelf it. Why do the interview? Why do all that? And then the guy, now the producer, or we'll say, you know, program director say, nah, it's too controversial. We can't do this. We can't air it. We can't. And they'll shelf it. They'll put it on a shelf. I kid you not. You know, I'll tell you off air of who I'm talking about. And I know it for a fact because I saw it. Mm-hmm. Why? These people are coming to you and basically just spilling their guts. And, you know, and it's so like pulling on your heartstrings and everything. And you want to help them. Sometimes the only thing you can do is be a good listener. Nothing more than that. You know, I'm not a doctor. I don't give medical advice. None of that. So I have life experience because of our age and what we've been through and that kind of thing as a person, as a parent, as a business owner, and you know, all those things. Sure. So if I can prevent you from standing in one landmine or hitting quicksand over here, sure. I'll throw a little olive branch out there and say, hey, don't do this. Do that. Take it with a grain of salt. Now, I can't do it for you, but I can tell you some of the pitfalls because nobody showed me, but I didn't use that as an excuse to not help others. I did the first time. Well, they didn't pay their dues. I mean, fuck them. You know what I mean? That they got to have to fail on their own. I don't feel that way this time around. That's honest. I'm being honest. So it's more serious subjects because life is real. And this is a place where I won't let anyone screw around with them. I got my hosts. If I have a co-host, I got their back. I have my guests back, and I mean that. If we have a caller that comes in or someone typing in the chat, I've got them. You know, they're courageous. Some people aren't believed. Some people think it's hyperbole and that can't really be that bad. You know, we had the human trafficking, the girl that talks about that stuff, and she's an advocate against it, and they're building homes for them and everything. And I'm very involved with what her story is, and she'll be back with panelists, with survivors I've spoken to. I mean, I never thought I would be in that position, Jim, where I would be the one that they want to talk to, but I can't stop now. And I'm inundated with emails all over the place for all different subjects, not just actors and stuff like that.
Right.
And I feel that that's important because they're important too. Why? Because they've never been on the side that I've been on, like for entertainment. So does that mean that their story isn't, you know, it's prophetic. It's just, you got to give people a chance and give them the benefit of the doubt. Let them get it out.
Right.
And I think that that's good. You got to do stuff that's good for the soul once again. And I believe that I can do both, help some people and do what I do, be in my element. Why not? Why not? You know? Sure.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, people may not be able to relate on a personal level for like a celebrity story where, you know, oh, you know, something happened on my jet going to a movie that I'm working on. But, you know, there are other people that, like you said, they're coming on your show and they're talking about topics that, even though they're not commonplace on, you know, on the air, they're a lot more universal. And, you know, it just takes that one listener to say, hey, you know what? I'm going through this too. I can empathize with what this person is going through. And look how this person came out. I can do the same thing.
Yeah, you can empathize and then in a lot of cases sympathize all at the same time. Right. You're going to be helping people for the most part that you'll never meet, that you'll never look at. You might walk right by them on the street, never even know. But that's got to put a smile on your face, Jim, because you know that they're in a little bit of a better place since they encountered you in life. You might not ever see or hear from ever again, but maybe just for that little bit of time, they stopped thinking about their husband beating them up. They stopped thinking about drinking and drug abuse, you know, and all like the different pitfalls on that and how that destroys families and lives. Maybe for just a little while, I made somebody laugh. It's not because what they're saying is unimportant. That's quite the opposite, but I'm making them laugh or whatever because they don't want to always talk about it. Sometimes they just not want to be entertained.
Right.
But take over for a little while, Greg. Give me something. Give me some kind of hope. I need to hear you say it, you know, without them saying it. You got to read between the lines. So if I make you laugh or I crack a sarcastic joke or something like that, for a little while, I made them laugh. I made them smile. They weren't thinking for that 5 or 10 minutes on what might have transpired or what they've been through. And they know that they're cognizant of that later on. They know what I did. Yeah. For the most part, that brings me, it's my pleasure to do something like that. I feel better when my head hits the pillow at the end of the night, knowing that I left them at a little bit of a better spot. I would lie to you if I said that I don't think about that we would get a lot of ratings and people watching. That's not, of course, that's true. I'm an honest man, but it's still the truth. I still right. do. I don't have to do this. I want to.
Sure.
You know, and I think that you and I and people that are vocal or in the public eye, it's not as easy as people think. No, we're not like, you know, Sylvester Stallone here, but we are in the public eye. There, it's scrutinized. You're going to have people on both sides, you know, get sucked into religion and politics, all this stuff. It's like a vacuum, you know, and you have to stay above board and they have to stay impartial. Very difficult to do, especially now. But in the end, it's worth it. Just like what I just said, they stopped thinking about that stuff for a little, or they got it out. Finally, somebody's going to give me the floor. They're going to be listening to me, a whole new market in New York and New Jersey that didn't hear me because I'm from Oklahoma or whatever it is. They're going to be listening to me. And there's people listening going, you know what? Like you just said, Jim, oh, you know what? I've done that. That happened to me too. Or it happened to my sister or my brother or my mom or what. And they don't feel so isolated. They don't feel alone anymore. And now they're listening and they're feeling a little bit better about themselves that they're not alone.
Yeah.
That you can't put a price tag on that, man. It's amazing how therapeutic being on a mic and doing what you're doing can help people because of our reach, especially with the internet and radio, like I do in podcasting, like, you know, and it could go on the internet and it could be all over the world. I mean, someone in, you know, England can be listening to Jim and someone in Australia is listening to me. But because at the end of the day, we're all human beings, right? I mean, so that's kind of cool. I like that part of it.
Yeah.
I embrace it. And that's who I am now. And I'm a better man for it, I believe.
Yeah. And to refer to what you said earlier, it's kind of like the perk of being the bus driver.
Well, I mean, you're steering.
Yeah.
They'll tell you where they want to go. You bring them there. You are the vehicle. You know, can they have their own podcast? Of course they could. Could they stream and talk about their stuff or go to therapy? Of course they can. But not everybody can say, well, we're going to have 200,000 or 300,000 people listen on any given time. And then we're going to put it on our YouTube, our iHeartRadio and Spotify and everything. And it'll be there for all time. So you'll be able to help people 2.5 years from now. They're going to listen and go, oh, wow. And all of a sudden you get a whole bunch of hits on that. So it's a win-win. Mm-hmm. And maybe somebody that didn't happen to when you first recorded with them, but since had happened, and then they do a search and there's a keyword in there and boom, they find you, they find me, they find this one. Wow. Pretty cool. The gift that keeps on giving in a good way, not in a sarcastic way. I mean, it's not, oh my God, we're going to slit our wrists. I'm going to listen to Greg. It's not like that. Right. It's about empowerment. It's about me sticking up for them. I'm not the equalizer. I'm not on a crusade or some kind of mission or anything. I'm just being me, Jim. Right. I'm being me. It's my way of putting my arm around someone and saying, are you all right? What's going on? Talk to me. Talk to them. Say what you got to say. What really happened? I'm going to give you a chance. Here's your opportunity in a completely different market. The biggest market in the world is New York area, right?
Sure.
New York's there. LA is there. London is there. You know, Chicago, but let these people know what happened, what really happened. Talk to me. And they do. I get that out of people because they want to so bad and they're just waiting for the right opening and I'm giving it to them. I'm not telling them what to say. We're unscripted. We don't practice. We don't rehearse nothing. It's very organic and very natural because if it's scripted, it sounds scripted.
Yeah.
But this isn't a movie thing. We're not doing a screen test. This is me saying, hey, I'm Greg. This is the Mean Machine Radio Show. This is my playground. You want to subscribe and everything? Great. If you want to just check it out on your own, fine. You know, do whatever you have to do. I hope you're not one and done. I can't, you know, but I'm going to want to give you a reason to come back here instead of saying, hey, subscribe to my channel, the Mean Machine Radio Show on YouTube. No. Listen to what's going on. See if you like the humor. See if you like the guests. Maybe you'd like to be one or you know someone. Then let them make up their own mind. And that, here's my playground. You invite them. You don't force them. Yeah. That's what's worked for me.
Sure. Now, when you're not on your playground, or what are you checking out that's done by other people?
I listen to some podcasts when I can. I like to listen to regular music. You know, the way I prepare is that I don't prepare. I know it sounds ridiculous. Let me explain. I'll just be like before a show, because I get asked this all the time, emails and everything. I like to be quiet. Not classical music, like something like I'm burning candles, like Joan of Arc or some shit, but I just kind of just being quiet and not thinking about everything and anything other than what I'm about to do. So that's how I prepare. So outside of being on the air, on a microphone, on camera, I'm comfortable with all that. I'm in my element. Some people have it and some people don't. And that's okay if they don't, you know. It's something you could work on to get better, or that might not be your thing. It's okay. You got to have an audience. Why? Because those are the people that don't. And that's okay. You know, it's not like, oh my God, they're not that. You know, people get the wrong idea about that. But I'm going to do my thing no matter what. And I do like to look at other people. Listen, do I get ideas sometimes? Yeah, not so much ideas, But I like to look at other people's style. And let me tell you something. I'll be very complimentary if there's someone, not that I'm competing with, because it's not really a competition.
Right.
But if I like the way that Jim does something, or the way he handled a difficult guest, that it does happen. You know this.
Oh, yeah.
And just the ups and downs and any what, my God, what doesn't go wrong when you're live? I mean, Jesus. But I like the way that they handle what you see or don't see. Like I was saying before, I can appreciate professionalism. I know what to look for. I know what to listen for. I'm not listening to what you're saying. I'm seeing how, you know, some people talk and some people speak. You got to know the difference. So I'm listening for the breaks. I'm listening for the cuts. I'm listening for the clips. I'm listening for the break. You know, like I know what to listen for if they're actually doing what other people don't know, because this is what we do. I mean, obviously this is our craft.
Sure.
So I like to look from afar. Like even in that, like spaces now and then I'll speak once in a blue moon, but just to decompress and sit back and let's hear other people's thoughts and feelings on current events or sports or whatever. And I admire a lot of, I don't think I'm the only person that's good at what there's a lot of people out there, past and present, and probably the future people, right? That we're going to be showing how to do stuff, that's who's going to take it when we're in our rocking chair, you know, on the front porch, you know, like the Pepperidge Farm guy.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
That's right. And they're lucky that they remember. I was thinking more of Bartles and James, but you got it, bro. But I'd like to admire other people's style. I have my own style. I have my own way of doing things. And I know what I'm good at. And I know what I'm not. Mm-hmm. And to watch other people approach things a different way, I'm in awe. Some of these guys are really good. Some of them suck. But there's other ones that, because they don't pay the respect that they should to the business, to the industry. You know, if I don't have an unmade bed in the background or a bunch of crap, or your mom calling you for dinner, give me a break. Dude, be professional. If you act professional and you look professional, then you'll be professional. You know, that's you don't fake it until you make it. You start from day one as someone taking it seriously. You can't go wrong. If you're true to yourself, you can't go wrong. Don't shortchange yourself. Who are you going to, in the end, who are you shortchanging if you do this? Yourself. Why? Why do that? If you don't know who you are, how's anyone else? How? Because they will see you as you see yourself. So if you lay on your bed, go, who is Jim? Who am I? Because if you don't know, how are they supposed to know? It seems so simple and generic and parochial, if you will, but it's true. You know? And do you want to fit in or do you want to stand out? You have to make these decisions. Because it's that thing that I can't teach or you can't teach. It's that intangible thing. It's inside of you.
Sure.
You know, and it's either you go for it. I don't do things half-assed. That's the way I was taught. Either do it or don't do it. Why would you do it halfway? You're only hurting yourself. So once again, I can't help anybody get ready, but I can help them when they are. And only they will know when that is.
Sure.
You know, so yeah, I watch other people and I admire other people doing that. If they're giving it everything they got and I could tell that they're struggling and it's, but they're doing the very best that they can that I can see, I commend them for it. They're already a winner. Yeah. I mean that.
So before I let you go, you know, people are going to hear some really good conversations on your show. So we have shameless self-promotion, of course. And if you want to let everybody know where they can get in touch with you and hear your show and anything else that you need to let them know. Floor is
absolutely. They'll keep me forever like luggage.
Shameless self-promotion.
No, but it's sure. So it's the I'm all about shameless plugs. Like I said, once again, it's Jersey. The only people that come here, you know, is if you have family or if you're under subpoena. Other than that, you don't really come to Jersey, you know, so you can find me everywhere. So Mean Machine Radio Show. It is on YouTube. It is on Spotify. It's on iHeartRadio. It's on Amazon Music. Whenever we have a guest, it'll be as an episode. So you would go in there, and then we're on season 2 right now. We take a break in the summer, and then season 3 will start. So they could go in there and look at the different seasons or clips and stuff like that. They could get there that way. Like I said, and Spotify and all that, it'll be on there. And then 48 hours later, it'll go on the other ones. As far as social media is concerned, another necessary evil. We are on TikTok. We are on Instagram. We are on Facebook. We're on Twitter or X, whatever we're calling it now. We're on all of them. The Mean Machine Radio Show. My handle on Twitter, I spend a lot of time on there, and I met a lot of good people on there. It's at Gregory Joseph 70. We're on a new venture right now, real quick, where we're going to have that copyrighted music and everything. It's going to be available for the public. You're going to see it in my feed. Oh, now playing Jump by Van Halen, and you'll click on it. It'll take you right to the actual station and everything, and you'll be able to play legally, be able to listen to it right through your browser. So we have that going. I'm going to be vetting different DJs and interviewing them soon because we need some. And it's Meme Machine Radio. It's Gregory Joseph at MemeMachineRadio.com. If they want to drop us a line or want to be a guest or they have some kind of probative value that they'd like to add to the show or just to say hello or whatever it is, you can find us there.
Right. There you have it, Mr. Gregory Joseph from Meme Machine Radio. Be sure to check out his show. You know, there'll be some interesting conversation going on. Greg, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Jim. I had fun, man. You're a good guy. Rock on, brother.
Now it's time for Sherpa samples. If you've got a podcast you'd like us to sample, contact us, and we'll mention your name on the show.
It is time now for Sherpa samples. It is the portion of the show where I get to tell you what's going on in the podcast charts. But before I get started, I just wanted to let you know a little something. We actually started this almost 2 years ago to this date, if you are listening in real time. And I believe I've probably listened to a couple of hundred podcasts to sample, believe it or not. And I was really surprised that I've actually gotten so much to do. And actually, the podcast chart that I go through, I've listened to pretty much every podcast on that chart. Every podcast on that chart. Not so fast, podcast breath. The two that I didn't get to listen to were Drinny's and Das Podcast UFO. Well, that's because they're in other languages, and I didn't feel that it would be fair to listen to podcasts that I didn't really get the language, so I couldn't really give you a good enough description about what they were about. But I covered all the other ones. So having gone through the top 200, and I also include podcasts from Apple Podcasts and Spotify as well, I went into the new and trending charts. So that's where we're getting these 10 from this week. So here we go. If you were a fan of the TV show Taskmaster, and I know they actually had a podcast that we sampled a while back too, two of the cast members of the show were Lucy and Sam, and they've actually come out with a podcast called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brain. And they're comedians, so they go on about a lot of different subjects. They're British, and they were discussing different elements of the face. So they've definitely got a unique sense of humor, and if you're a fan of Taskmaster, I think you will get a kick out of their podcast as well. And while we're talking about duos, we also had The Recipe with Kenji and Deb. And Kenji and Deb are home chefs, and they create recipes, and they talk about the recipes that they create, mostly for like a lot of foods that most people eat. The episode that I listened to, they talked about pancakes, and they mentioned some interesting things that might be worth a little try the next time I feel like having some flapjacks, such as egg whites or baking powder or buttermilk. You never know. And they talk about different ways of cooking them as well. Interesting stuff if you are a foodie. Spacewalk with Everyday Astronaut is hosted by a guy named Tim Dodd, who's actually flown in the Starships, which were launched by SpaceX. And the first episode that I heard, he was really talking about the rockets themselves and fielding a lot of questions that people had. The first episode, honestly, it wasn't really basic science. It was kind of involved rocket science. So if you're into space travel and you really want to know the technical stuff, this might be a podcast that you want to check out. The Lewis Theroux podcast is one that's brought to us over in England. And Lewis Theroux is a documentarian and a journalist. And the interview that I heard that he did was with Tracy Ullman, who originally formed the Tracy Ullman Show back in the 80s, which gave rise to The Simpsons. And she talks about that and her career as well. She's always very funny and very interesting. And she's doing a bit of a comeback with some other projects that she's involved with. So it was a really cool interview. Another guest interview I heard was The Lonely Island and Seth Meyers podcast. Now, if you are a fan of American television and you've been watching Saturday Night Live, you would know who these people are. The Lonely Island are a group of guys who do a lot of funny songs and videos for the Saturday Night Live show. And Seth Meyers is a writer and one of the newscasters on Weekend Update for the show. And Seth Meyers also has his own talk show late at night. The rest of these podcasts were story-based podcasts based on either fact or fiction. And I gotta tell you, they definitely covered some interesting ground here. Consumed is a spooky drama podcast, and it's based on a book written by Aaron Mankey, who has actually created a lot of podcasts that we've talked about, like Lore and The Cabinet of Curiosities. So there was some creepy stuff on there. A little adult language, but it was really well done. The Burden was another interesting one. It has to do with some convicts who were locked up in jail for crimes that they stated they did not commit, and they became jailhouse lawyers. And they noticed in their appeal that their case seemed to revolve around the same New York City detective, and this was back in the 90s. So it goes into what happens when, you know, he's confronted in a trial. 53 Minutes is a soccer podcast, and it has to do with how a soccer player named Ali Dia ended up in the World Cup when he really wasn't even that good of a soccer player. Oh, I'm sorry, should I say football player? But it goes into the whole convoluted story of how he ended up in there. And supposedly he wasn't very good. Don't worry, Ali, for what it's worth, they would just replace your name with Jim the Podcast Sherpa when it comes to soccer. Understood covers a lot of different topics. And the season that they're dealing with is what's called the Pornhub Empire. Am I pronouncing that right? Pornhub? Is it Pornhub? I'm not sure how to pronounce it. I've never really heard of this before. And anyway, it is the rise and fall of a porn website. I really don't know anything about this Pornhub, it's called? Okay, I'm not sure. And lastly, this was another unique one. It's called To Die For. And it has to do with an investigative journalist who wrote the book The Game, and how he was called upon to investigate how the Russian government was hiring women to seduce the Russian government's enemies to get secrets out of them. And he actually interviews one of these women who worked for the Russian government. A little bit of political intrigue, almost like Bond, James Bond. And I say we head on to the finale. Yes, Too Many Podcasts finale. Something like that. I don't know.
Be a rebel. Follow the show at Sherpalution on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
A very special thanks to Gregory Joseph of the Meme Machine Radio Show for swinging by Mount Podcastia. And if you want to swing by Mount Podcastia, well, you can't. No, but yeah, I know what you can do. You can listen to us on podcast apps everywhere. No longer Google Podcasts. Listen to us on YouTube Music. That's what's taken its place if you've already made the transition, as they said. Or you can also listen to us on podcast apps everywhere, Sherpalution.com, or on the Sherpalution YouTube page. And speaking of the Sherpalution YouTube page, I'm working on getting all my episodes of The Expert Factory. And if you haven't heard those, that was something I did as a little side project a few years back, and it's just about how to do things a little easier. And I did like 5 or 6 episodes, some really cool stuff and really some nice people on there. If you'd like to listen to them, if you are enjoying that YouTube thing. Coming up next week, I believe we actually have a Sherpa Screening Room episode scheduled. We will see what's going to happen with that. I've got a really interesting interview coming up. Hopefully that will all work out and you will get to hear it next week. And I hope you will enjoy it. I won't say much about it because it's... What if it doesn't happen? We don't want to let you down. No, we can't have that happen. No, not me. Not me. I'm not the letdown kind of guy. But thank you again for listening. You know where to hear me. And we'll be back this weekend with Sherpa Selects, hearing some episodes from the earlier episodes. And we will be back the following Wednesday, if you're listening in real time or somewhere. But we come out every Wednesday with new episodes. So be sure to check it out. And until then, Lord Mr. Bruce, let's head on out of here. And I say to you, Viva La Sherpalution.
Thanks for listening to Too Many Podcasts. Please disperse. You can go home now. I said you can go home now. Viva La Sherpalution. Viva La Sherpalution. Oh. Yell, come back now, you hear?
You know, Rebels, if you've been checking out some of my promotional ads on social media, you'll be aware that I have been using a lot of AI programs to help me create ads. But you know what? There's a lot more uses for AI than just funny little videos. And I'd like to introduce one of our new sponsors, Podium. It is a leader in creating AI tools for podcasters. Now, let's say you've got a podcast, or maybe you're even thinking of doing a podcast. You're probably wondering, well, how can AI be integrated with your workflow? I'll tell you about Podium. As a podcaster, you know that writing show notes and creating chapters and transcribing episodes takes a lot of time, and it can cost you a lot of money too. But you know what? That's where Podium comes in. It's an AI tool designed specifically for creators and podcasters with the goal of making post-production tasks quick and easy. And in just a few minutes, Podium generates show notes, chapters, summaries, clips for social media, a full transcript, suggested episode titles, social media posts, and more. Whew, that's a lot of work for one little program. Your show notes are key to your podcast's success because it helps new listeners find your podcast and they'll know if it's a fit for them. You know, kind of like too many podcasts. It also improves your SEO, that's your search engine optimization. Ooh, big phrase there. And overall accessibility. And with Podium, you can focus on creating a great podcast and let Podium's AI do the heavy lifting. But Podium isn't just for solo creators and podcasters. It's a game changer for editors, producers, marketers, agencies, and production studios. Teams that use Podiums are able to increase workloads, decrease turnaround times, and improve their quality. How does it work? Very easy. First, go to Podium's website, and you'll see that link that's right there in the show notes. You get 3 hours free just to try it. Pretty cool, huh? And using that link also supports this show as well. And you know what else happens? Because I'm a good guy. You use my link, you will get 50% off for your first month. So visit the site, upload an MP3 file, and download your files, and that's it. And if you need anything else, you can use Podium GPT to generate articles and any marketing copy you might need in seconds. Instant show notes, transcripts, chapters for your podcast or channel. This will level up that podcast. So check out Podium today.